Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 8. Today we're going to continue in the series on that chapter. And we're going to start in verse 32. The Word of God says, "He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" A lot of believers, I think, do not know if they can fully trust God. Although the thought itself does not come into their minds in clarity. But the bottom line is, they do not know if they can fully trust God. And it manifests itself in things like nervousness or anxiety. There is a prayer, and they're not sure that God will give it to them. But Matthew in chapter 7 says that if you ask, then you will receive. But they're not certain that they can believe that. Maybe I didn't ask correctly. Or maybe I'm somehow wrong or off, and maybe I won't receive. Or maybe I'm not so important that God would respond to me. Or maybe I ask something that is different to His will, and now I'm afraid a little bit that I will not receive. But Matthew says that if you ask, you will receive. And that's the Word of God. So if I ask God, I can have a full and complete expectation from Him. If God has given a promise, I can have a full and complete expectation from Him. If God's Word says something, then I have a full and complete expectation from Him. Because I can have confidence in God. But we're not always sure, without knowing it, that we're not confident, or if we can be confident. Well, the Word of God says, yes, you can be confident. And it is not presumption like some religions would say. It is presumption. No, it is not presumption. It is presumption to not be confident. Confidence in God's Word, confidence in God's prayer to God, confidence in promises, that is not presumption. A lack of confidence towards those things is presumption. It is presuming against the character of God that it will not be a faithful character. But God's character is one of faithfulness. God's character is one that is for us. By the way, God is for you. Even if you mess it up, God is for you. He will always be for you. If there are two to choose from, God will be for you. What if it's a Christian? Doesn't make any difference. Don't worry about that person. They're God's problem. God is for you. Always be confident in this fact that God is for you. Always be confident in this fact. God answers prayer. Always be confident in this fact. God is good to His promises. He will fulfill them. Always be confident in this fact. God's Word is true. And it will always stand, and you can stand on it. Always be confident in these things. Why? Because that's who God is. You see, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He now not with Him also give us freely all things, not just some things, all things. He that in the original language is hoge, and ge is an intensive particle which serves to strengthen or render more emphatic the word to which it is appended. And if you were to say this more accurately than the King James translates it, is who as much as this. So ge here modifies the deed. Okay, who as much as this, He did as much as this. Who as much as this, He did not spare His own Son. You know what spare there means in the original language? He was not merciful to him. He was not tender to his own son. He would not spare his son. He did not spare his own son. Own. This is a phenomenal word. Pay careful attention to this word. It is the word idion, and it's one's own, pertaining to a private person and not to the public. Do you realize what this means? That when Christ died, when God did not spare His own Son, it was His own person that made that choice. It was not His, if you will, His office as Almighty. It was not His office as God. It was God, the individual. God, the being, who did not spare His Son. It was not in His role as God. It was within His own person. This is the intensity of the love of God. That even apart from His role as deity, He loves you and would not spare anything for you, not even His own Son. This is God's own heart. This is not just His office as God. This is His heart. That He delivered Him up for us all. And that word delivered there is talking about giving Him to a magistrate with an evil intent. To be condemned and found guilty. He delivered Him up for us all. And this is what God did in His heart. As a unique person, as a unique individual. Not in His office, but in His heart. In His own, if you will, in His own inner man. This is what He did. This is how He thought toward you. This was His desire. God's desire is toward you. And so He, in His heart, would not spare, not even His own Son. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? And Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown says about this, all other gifts being not only immeasurably less than this gift of gifts, but virtually included in it. You see, the all things part was included in giving us His Son. So when we have a call, when we have a promise, when we have a prayer, when we have a vision that God put into our heart, whatever it is, that was included with giving us His Son. You see, it wasn't just Christ on the cross that was given to us. It was Christ and the life of Christ in us and the call of God and the purpose of God and the plan of God and the redemption of God and the confirmation into His image. And all that is our life with God was given to us with His Son. That's what His Son was for us. Even the minutia of the details of our prayers, that was what God gave to us when He gave us His Son. By virtue of the fact that Christ went to the cross, was buried, rose again and ascended, by virtue of that fact, we have all things. All things spiritual, all things temporal. They are ours. We have them. God has given them to us. We have a right to them. They are ours. The one who owns them gave them to us. This is why we can have supreme confidence on whatsoever is of God in our lives. Because they have been given to us already by virtue of the fact that Christ went to the cross, they are ours. And that was the guarantee that God had given us that He will be faithful to us. That was the guarantee that God had given us that our prayers will be answered. That was the guarantee that God gave us that His Word is true. That was the guarantee that God gave us that His promises can be trusted. Christ went to the cross. That was the guarantee. And now all things are ours because that was what gave them to us. They came part and parcel. It was a package deal. God gave us everything. And there is nothing that He will withhold from us now. He had given us His Son, and with His Son He gave us everything. And so He cannot withhold anything to us. He cannot go back on His Word. He cannot go back on prayer. He cannot go back on promises. He cannot go back on His character. He cannot go back on His faithfulness. They are already ours. We already own them. They are already our possession. He's no thief. God doesn't change His mind because the work is finished. My call won't change. God's promises won't change. God's Word won't change. Nothing will change. Why? Because God doesn't change. God went to the cross. He cannot ungo to the cross. It's a done deal. All I can do is possibly, if I respond to God in negative volition, I might delay His will in my life, but I cannot change His will in my life. And ultimately, He will cause me to enter into that will, into that plan. Why? Because He's in charge of my life. He bought it with His blood, and now He's going to give me in Ephesians 3:20 above and beyond all I can ask or think, because that came with the cross. That was given to me with the cross. Do you see why the cross in my life is such a beautiful thing? It is the life of God, but it's not merely the life of God, as though there was a merely to that. It is the all things experience in my life. It comes through the cross. All things with Him freely. All things. In Genesis chapter 22 and verse 12, how do I enter into that experience of all things? God withheld nothing from me, but He will test me whether I will withhold something from Him. And if I will withhold nothing from God, then in my experience I will receive everything from Him. Just like Solomon. Ask me what you want of me, Solomon, I'll give it to you. God, give me the wisdom to lead your people. Solomon, you could have asked for riches, you could have asked for the lives of your enemy, you could have asked for all these things, but you did not. You asked after my heart. You withheld nothing from me, and now I will give you all things. The things that you could have asked, I'll give you, and I'll give you the wisdom also. You see, that very thing that I withhold in my life is the very thing that's forcing God to not be able to give it to me just yet. This is why sometimes I can delay God's perfect plan in my life, although I cannot eradicate it. Why? Because in my capacity, perhaps it is just a matter of capacity or maturity, and perhaps it is a question of negativity and fellowshipping with the wrong things in my mind. Whatever it may be, it is different for every person. But if I am there, whatever is causing it, God will have to bring me to a place where I give to Him all things in my life. Why? Because He will trade my ashes for His beauty. I give Him all of my ashes, and He gives me all of His beauty. And this is what happened in Genesis chapter 22 and verse 12. And He said, "Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withhold thine son, thine only son." Notice that God did not ask a man to do even what he, God, was willing to do. God would do that which He would not ask me to do. God didn't ask for Isaac's life. God asked for Abraham's heart. And then when there was nothing withheld in Abraham's heart toward God, the promise was fulfilled. And this is how I receive the all things of God. When there is nothing withheld from God in my life, He now has the ability, because I now have the capacity, to receive the all things. And progressively I receive more and more from God as my capacity grows. And He will give me according to my capacity, but He will give me in such a way that my capacity will grow. This is why so frequently when God says He'll answer my prayer, or when God, there's a promise that I'm claiming from God, or when there's something in the Word of God that I'm clinging to, God makes me wait. Why? Because patience has a completing work. That's what a perfect work is. It's a completing work. Patience makes it complete. I need a capacity. I can't pour a barrel of water into a teacup. I need a capacity. So patience has a perfect work as God causes my capacity to go. But He will freely give me all things because they are already mine. He can't not give them to me. He's already given them. And that doesn't mean just the things of the spiritual realm. That means all things. I looked up that word in the Greek again, all. And sure enough, it means all. He'll give me all things. He will give me all things. Because Christ died, and that's the seal, the evidence of the promise. It will be as God has said, in all things. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that He should lie. People think that subtly. They don't think of God as a liar, but they subtly think that it won't come. They subtly think God may not answer the prayer, fulfill the promise, be true to His word, whatever. Be kind to them. Be merciful towards them. Be gentle with them. They think that He is lying to them when He says He is gentle and merciful and kind. They think that He is lying when He says He will answer your prayer because you've asked Him. They think He is lying that if He gives a promise that He says He will fulfill it. They think that He is lying when the Word of God says something and they're not sure if they can stand on it as truth. He's not lying. He doesn't lie. He's not a man that He can lie. He's not the Son of Man that He should repent. He doesn't change His mind. God never changes His mind towards you. God's love towards you doesn't change. God's faithfulness towards you doesn't change. God's character towards you doesn't change. How do you know it won't change? Because the work's already finished. The proof of it was at the cross. There's your evidence. You want evidence? There's your evidence. He went to the cross. He did not in His own being even spare His only Son. Think about the meaning of that. He had a son. And His son was innocent. And He gave Him. Not in His office as God. But in His person toward you. Think about what that is. The mind-boggling sacrifice that He made, what's He now not going to give you with Him? What's He going to take back? What's He not going to be faithful to? How's He not going to live up to His promises, His word? How's He not going to answer your prayers? He said He'd answer them, He'll answer them. How many people are praying for a loved one? Maybe that person is struggling. God will answer those prayers. And just because sight doesn't agree at the moment with your prayer for that loved one, God will answer those prayers. Don't walk by sight, walk by faith. Receive it by faith. Thank Him now by faith. God calls those things that are not as though they were in me. I'm going to call those things that are not as though they were toward God. I believe You for this, God. Thank You. I know that You're answering. I know that You're coming through. Thank You. I trust You. I know You're going to do it. Thank You. And I'm going to keep thanking Him until I've received. Why? Because He will freely give us all things. There's nothing He won't give us. There is no exception to this. Hath He not said, and shall He not do it? Israel, didn't He say it? Oh, Israel, you might have messed up, but Israel, you might have delayed the call, you might have delayed the promise, you might have delayed the world, but Israel, you went into the promised land. Israel, the Red Sea did part for you. You were murmuring against Moses, but the Red Sea did part for you. Israel, you did get manna in the desert. Israel, your clothes did not wear out, not even your shoes. Israel, you did get water in the desert out of a rock. God came through. Yes, their unbelief delayed the fulfillment of the promise, but the unbelief did not cancel the fulfillment of the promise. The promise came through. They entered into the promised land. Jericho's walls fell down. They didn't even have to fight. Jericho's walls fell down. They didn't have to climb them. They fell over. Then they just crossed into Jericho. All they had to do is walk around it a little bit. Why? Because wherever the sole of your foot shall tread, that will I give you, Abraham. And they were Abraham's seed. So the sole of their foot treaded around Jericho, and God gave them Jericho. And what did Jericho say? What did the inhabitants say? Our hearts did melt within us because of you, because your God had parted the Red Sea as you escaped Egypt, and then He drowned all of Pharaoh's army. It says in Joshua, our hearts melted within us. Why? Because with you Christ, with you I have all things. That is the seal of the promise. That is the evidence of the fulfillment of prayer. That is the fulfillment of God's Word. It was the blood of the Lamb. It was the cross of Christ. It was the burial and the resurrection and the ascension. And now we have with Him all things. If it belongs to God, it belongs to us. Do you realize that? If it belongs to God, it belongs to us, and everything belongs to God. Yes, Satan is a powerful enemy, but he's God, Satan. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's God, Satan. He can only do what God will allow him, and God will use him only to the point where you get some sort of ultimate benefit from him. And when he is done using him, he's going to cast him into the lake of fire. You know what? It reminds me, this is a little bit of a silly analogy, but it honestly reminds me of this. You have a campfire, and you put hot dogs on a stick. You pick up a stick that you were going to throw into the campfire, and you pierce your hot dog on it, and use the stick so long as it'll cook your hot dog. But when you're done cooking hot dogs, you throw the stick in the fire. That's Satan. He's there to prepare the hot dogs. And then he gets thrown in the fire. Luke 12:32. Fear not, little flock. People are so afraid that God won't come through. Fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It is the Father's good pleasure. It pleases the Father. He gives you everything of the kingdom, the authority, the power. Everything of that is of the kingdom, the ownership, everything of the kingdom, the inheritance. It's all yours. 3 John 1:2. Beloved, this is a big one. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Prosper is eudostai. It's a perfect passive indicative, and it means lead in a good way, to prosper in your journey. Do you realize that when I let God lead me into all things, when the Holy Spirit leads me into all truth in John 16, when I receive these all things from God, and I walk in the purity of my call, and I don't kick against the pricks, and I don't start doubting and start going to the right or to the left, but I stay in my calling, I abide, I wait on God, and I abide, I start to prosper, because I prosper spiritually. I abide in His Word, I abide in prayer, abide in promises, I abide in the calling, I abide in His mercy, I abide in all of His character, and I start to prosper spiritually. And as I prosper spiritually, I also prosper in health. The person who walks out of their call becomes unhealthy. You know why? Stress hormones. Things like stress hormones. They kill people. Why? It is stressful to go apart from the call of God, from the will of God. It brings stress in my life. It brings anxiety. It raises my blood pressure. Stay in the call of God and you stay healthy. It's health to you. It's health to all your flesh. How do I stay there? In Proverbs 4:20, my son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, thy perception. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. It's the word of God that keeps me in the call. It's the word of God that produces health in me. It's always the word of God. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, I had not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God had prepared for those that love Him. God had already prepared them. They are already there. They are mine for the taking. And in verse 12, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us. Freely given to us. I know them by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God reveals them to me. They are freely given to me. He gives me the promises. He tells me about them before they come in Isaiah 42. He makes streams in the desert for me as I'm waiting for Him in Isaiah 43. He shares with me things. He says, you will know it before they come. And He's going to do a new thing in my life, and He will give me what He has said. And He said He's going to show us by the Spirit that you might know the things that are freely given of the Spirit. He'll tell you and then He'll give it. This is why the Word of God is there. He tells you and then He gives it. This is why He tells you about His love. He tells you and then He gives it. This is why He tells you about His mercy. He tells you and there is He gives it. His faithfulness. He tells you and then He gives it. His leading. He tells you and then He causes it to come to pass. This is how God works toward the believer. In Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. It passes your ability to understand it. It passes even doctrine. That you might be fulfilled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to exceeding and abundantly above all that we can ask or think. He's able to do exceeding and abundant above anything that I ask, but anything that I even think. Anything that can even enter into my mind, according to the power that worketh in us. It's through the Word. It's through the Word. Therefore, take no thought in Matthew 6:31, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, or wherewithal you shall be clothed. How many believers are so worried about the temporal problems of their life, about the practical problems, the logistics of a calling? He says, take no thought. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things, but seek ye first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things are added unto you. Seek first God's kingdom, and everything is added unto you. Everything. No exception. Seek first God's kingdom and everything is added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things for itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof, the burden thereof. The Lord will perfect that in the Psalm 138a. The Lord will perfect it. Perfect it means to complete it. He will bring it to fulfillment. He will bring it to completion. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Does it concern you? It's going to be fulfilled. It's going to be brought to completion. It will be brought to fruition. It will be brought to maturity. If it concerns you, He will complete it. He will perfect it. Thy mercy, O Lord, endures forever. He will perfect it because of mercy. forsake not the works of thine own hands. He will never forsake what He is doing in my life because it is the work of His hands. And so He brings it into perfection, into completion. That's why He answers prayers. That's why He fulfills promises. That's why His word is reliable and faithful and true. Because it's the work of His hands in my life. And finally, in closing, I think this is one of the most important verses relating to the believer. If a believer gets a hold of this verse, the things it'll do in their life. In Philippians 1:6, being confident, not wavering, not questioning, not doubtful, being confident of this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. The one who has begun the good work in you will cause it to be completed. And He will do it in you. It doesn't matter what kind of a train wreck you may think your life is. The one who began a good work in you will complete it. The one to whom you pray will answer your prayer. The one who gives the promise will fulfill the promise. The one who gave the word will be true to the word. The one who says He loves you will always love you. The one who says He is merciful toward you will be merciful toward you. The one who says He is kind toward you will be kind toward you. The one who says He is gentle will be gentle. Do you understand what that means? That means that God is true. And you can live with an expectation from Him and not a fear regarding His character toward you. Not a fear whether He will be faithful, but an expectation that He is faithful. Knowing with confidence and boldness and full assurance that God is as God said He is, and that as He said, He will do. Amen.